Well, I hope that your blood pressure at least has gone down since Saturday night. I know mine for certain has not. Blood pressure is still through the roof. Anxiety is still on 10. But hey, isn't that just the beauty of this LSU Auburn rivalry? On today's edition of Locked On LSU, we'll break down LSU's win on the road at Jordan-Hare against Auburn, the three things I liked, the three things that I didn't, plus so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube as well. So you can listen while you're on the go, and you can also watch wherever you like, on your phone, on your smart TV, on your computer, however like you like to listen to your podcast. But I also want to let you know that LinkedIn Jobs is the official college football recruiting sponsor across the LSU College Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions apply. Well, it was not pretty. It was not pretty by any means. It was not pretty offensively. It was not pretty half the time defensively. It for certain was not pretty on special teams. But all that matters at the end of the day, truly, is that LSU escaped Auburn with a win. They now advanced 2-0 in SEC play, 4-1 on the season. LSU is now ranked. We found that out Sunday morning that LSU is ranked in the top 25 in that 25th slot going into this game against Tennessee on Saturday at Tiger Stadium. Tennessee, of course, number 8 in the nation. LSU squeaking in to the top 25 at 25. Now, it was a slow start for LSU, and that's kind of been a theme for this team, at least against, you know, even more evenly matched opponents, because we saw a quick start against Southern. We saw a quick start against New Mexico. But of course, you always have to take those games with a grain of salt because you're working with inferior opponents. And that's what I said after Southern. That's what I said after New Mexico about all the good things and the bad. The bad things, I said, okay, if you're going to do those bad things, turn the ball over, commit stupid penalties against New Mexico or Southern, you're going to do those things against Auburn. You're going to do those things against Mississippi State, so on and so forth. But the good things as well, the good things that happened against New Mexico and Southern, the quick starts, very high-powered offense. I said, okay, I love seeing those things against those inferior opponents, but can you do it again against an Auburn, against Mississippi State? Now, the slow start, was something that we've seen. It's an unsettling theme with LSU throughout the season against more evenly matched opponents, and I didn't like that. And it was such a slow start that LSU dug themselves in a 17-0 hole in the first half. Now, the good side of that is they were able to get themselves out of it, and I want to give them plenty of credit for that. I'll do that throughout the rest of the show, but the slow start was so frustrating to see from LSU, especially to see it from an offense that has struggled mightily so far this season. And to see this offense that struggled to put up points against Missouri, which, you know, ranks statistically in the bottom of the SEC in almost every single statistical category, and Auburn couldn't get things moving offensively. And then against LSU, they're able to sling the ball all over the place. So that was a little bit unsettling. The penalties, such sloppy play. And I'll break down exactly, you know, how the penalties really kind of shot LSU in the foot. The penalties were really difficult for LSU. And whenever you're playing an opponent, an SEC West opponent, I don't care if it's Auburn and I don't care if it's Alabama, you can't commit penalties like that. You can't make it more difficult on yourself than it needs to be, because then that just makes it more difficult to get back in the game. If you give Auburn an opportunity, I don't care if this is, you know, an Auburn team that maybe hasn't found as much success as they have maybe in the past. I don't care. This is an Auburn team that is at least talented enough to take advantage of the opportunities that you give them. It was truly a turnover battle. It was a turnover battle. It was a penalty battle. The penalty battle that LSU lost and the turnover battle that LSU did win. Auburn turned the ball over 4 times. LSU turned it over only once. And there was that weird weird point, like late in the fourth quarter, where LSU fumbled and Auburn recovered, and then Auburn fumbled and LSU recovered, and it was a whole bunch of back and forth. But overall, just one turnover on the day for LSU, and they have been so good at taking care of the football so far this season. So if they can continue to do that, LSU will find a whole lot of success. But it was turning the ball over that really, really was the Achilles heel for Auburn on Saturday night. Overall, my overall takeaway on this game is survive and advance. That is the absolute most important thing when you get into SEC play. It doesn't always have to be pretty. Sometimes I wish that LSU would at least make it easy on us. Sometimes I wish that LSU could just have a blowout game, a boring game, take care of business, and move on. But it's not what we've seen from this team so far, at least, you know, against SEC opponents or against Florida State. They made it harder than it needed to be, but overall they got a win. They're 2-0 in the SEC, 2-0 in the SEC West. And those are very important things. Pick up the wins where you can get them as this schedule gets more difficult moving forward. But overall, my takeaway was they got a win when they needed to, they just made it so much more difficult on themselves than it needed to be in a really difficult environment to play in. So I think we learned a lot about this LSU team against Auburn. I think this LSU team has had plenty of battle tests so far this season, and they're only going to get more. But what did we learn exactly from this specific battle test in LSU's first road game, again, escaping that first road game unscathed with a win? So coming up next, I want to get into the three things that I didn't like from that from LSU against Auburn. What did we learn from this team in kind of a negative light? We'll get into that. And of course, we'll always end our Monday shows with three things that I did like. And on a happy note, we'll get into three things that I didn't like coming up next. Now, you wouldn't take a high stakes bet on a sports book. So why would you do the same with your small business? Don't do that. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. And that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. So I work for a radio station, and when we needed to fill a position, we needed to do it immediately. We turned to LinkedIn Jobs because we knew that that was going to be the fastest, easiest, and cheapest, and really most efficient way to find the right candidate to fill that position. So all you have to do, it's free to post a job on LinkedIn Jobs. That's the most important thing. So you don't have to throw money away on posting jobs on all of these different job boards. It's free. Just go to LinkedIn.com and post the job and add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. They've got really easy, simple tools, easy to use, easy to navigate. That simple tools like screening questions that make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. So don't waste any time trying to screen potential candidates or look through people who really aren't qualified for your job, because LinkedIn will do that for you. It's super important to finish the year strong in my business and in your business too. So find the right team member that can help you do that. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors, because it's effective, it's efficient, and it's free and easy. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/lockedoncollege. That's LinkedIn.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube as well. Just search Locked On LSU in the YouTube search bar. Hit that subscribe button and you'll get notified as soon as Locked On LSU drops, so you won't miss a single second of your Locked On LSU content. But let's get into it. The X's and O's, the nitty-gritty of LSU's win on the road at Auburn. Three things that I did not like from that game. And I'll be honest with you, there was a lot of that I didn't like. There was a lot that I did like as well. I think there was a good bit to choose from three things that I did not like from that game. First and foremost was the passing defense. This LSU defense looked so stunned at the Auburn passing game. And I go back to last week when Brian Kelly was kind of highlighting what the game plan was without really saying, hey, this is our game plan. He mentioned that the offense was going to have to play safe football, take care of the football, be balanced on offense in the passing game and in the run game, which they weren't necessarily on Saturday night, but they did what they needed to do. But overall, he said, but we got to stop the run. But we've got to stop Tank Bigsby. We've got to stop Dark Woods Hunter. So I have to believe that the message all week long and the game plan for LSU, at least in the first half, was to stop the run. Well, then Robbie Ashford comes out and starts throwing the ball all over the place. So I think that LSU was a little bit caught off guard and the pass defense just wasn't prepared for that. I mean, Robbie Ashford threw for 337 yards, 19 completions on 38 attempts, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. I mean, throwing the ball 38 times. And Auburn found a whole lot of success doing it. And they spread the ball around to several different receivers. They had 8 different pass catchers, 3 with 50-plus yards. I mean, there were so many members of the LSU secondary that were missing easy tackles. They left these Auburn pass catchers wide open, and then with wide open field to add yards after catch. I mean, there were so many plays when I thought, why is there nobody on this guy? I mean, let's break it down. In Auburn's first drive, that first touchdown on their first drive was set up by a 10-yard pass and then a 53-yard bomb to Javarius Johnson. And there was nobody on him. He just had a wide open field. And then in the second drive, a touchdown set up by a 20-yard pass and then another 61-yard pass to Jarquez Hunter, a running back. What running back catches 61-yard passes? And then an 18-yard pass in the end zone. So that's 2 different drives with several different big-time passing plays that LSU just obviously wasn't prepared for. Or if they were prepared for it, they weren't executing it very well. They were missing tackles. They weren't covering their men. They allowed way too much from this Auburn pass offense, from an Auburn pass offense that hasn't been able to pop off like this, like they did against LSU. So is that an indictment of LSU's defense, or is that a nod to Auburn's offense for being able to figure things out a good bit? I think that the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I kind of want to say it's probably because Auburn's passing offense figured something out. Something just clicked within the last week between that Missouri game and the LSU game. But overall, just pretty unacceptable showing from LSU secondary. And the reason why I highlight this first and foremost is because Tennessee is coming to town this weekend, and they have a much better passing offense than Auburn does. If the secondary plays like they did against Auburn, against Tennessee, and this Tennessee offense is going to just, you know, throw the ball all over the yard. This Tennessee offense is going to be able to get into the end zone with ease. So that's why I highlight that first, because that's going to be something that this LSU defense is going to have to figure out within the next week. But also saying that, but also recognizing that this LSU defense is going to be ready for Tennessee's passing offense, for a high-powered offense, for a quick offense, an offense that likes to spread the ball around. At least hopefully they'd be prepared for that. So I go back to the question, were they caught off guard by the passing game, or is that just the LSU secondary? We've seen some really good things from this LSU secondary so far this season, most notably the Mississippi State game. So I have to believe that it was just Auburn's passing game figuring something out within the next week, but it was still something that I didn't like was the pass defense. Kind of turning to the other side of the ball, the second thing that I didn't like was the passing game itself. I mean, Jaden Daniels was held to only 80 yards on 8 completions, but here's the kicker. It's not like he didn't try to throw the ball. Jaden Daniels very much so did try to throw the ball. He tried to throw the ball 26 times and only connected on 8 of those. Now, of course, we saw Jaden Daniels go down in the second half with a knee injury, kind of a brutal knee-to-knee contact. Don't know exactly what that means for his availability moving forward. I don't know if it was just, you know, something that got tweaked, something that he was just like, hey, I'm out for the rest of the game, or if that's something that's going to leave Jaden Daniels out for the next couple of weeks. But he did go out in the second half. Garrett Nussmeier came in, and he only completed 2 passes on 6 attempts for 5 yards. I mean, LSU had 85 passing yards against Auburn. I mean, they escaped with a win, which is truly astonishing. But still 85 passing yards nonetheless. And a little bit of a fun fact for you. Did you know the last SEC team to win a road conference game with under 100 passing yards. The last team to do that was LSU in 2017. Coincidentally enough, against Tennessee on the road in Knoxville. But also, that was a completely different scenario. I was at that game, and I've never experienced worse weather conditions. Words are hard. Never experienced worse weather conditions at a football game before. It was so windy. It was stormy. I mean, there were puddles of water on the field. That was the game, if you remember, Coach O running out of the tunnel saying, you know, it's like playing backyard football. That was that game. So, of course, you're not going to throw the ball in that game. You're just going to run the ball in that game because the weather was so bad. The weather looked beautiful in Auburn on Saturday night, and they still only threw for 85 yards. So that's one thing that kind of concerned me, is how difficult it was for LSU to throw the ball. They didn't have a complete pass until 9.5 minutes left in the first quarter. Did not complete a single pass in LSU's first drive. In the second drive, only one completion in the third drive, two in the fourth, two in the fifth, and two in the sixth. That was the first half there. By the end of the first half, had only eight completions in the first half. That's just not good enough. That's not good enough all the way around. And it's not just on Jaden Daniels. It's not really on Jaden Daniels at all, to be honest with you, because on several of those incompletions, Jaden Daniels was delivering really solid balls that just didn't get caught. And that's on the pass catchers. That's on this wide receiver core that wasn't able to hold on to pretty easy receptions, to be honest with you. I mean, one most notably that I, you know, off the top of my head, was that target to Kayshon Booty, where he just dropped it. He just dropped it on this. And when he was near the sidelines, I believe it was on the left side, he just didn't drop a pretty easy ball that was thrown his way by Jaden Daniels. And Kayshon Booty didn't get very many targets. He had one reception for 4 yards against Auburn. He didn't get very many targets, and he looked pretty frustrated about it, but he wasn't catching the balls that were coming his way. And he wasn't the only one. I mean, I saw a few drop passes, you know, easy balls to catch. So that was frustrating to see, the fact that they couldn't get much moving in the passing game. And when they were able, and when receivers were able to get open, when Jaden Daniels did have a clean pocket to be able to drop back and throw that ball, they weren't taking advantage of that. So that was the second thing that I didn't like. The passing game. They're going to have to clean things up in the passing game, because the offense is going to be a whole lot more. It's going to have to be a whole lot more balanced against this Tennessee team. And also moving forward, the third thing that I didn't like: penalties, specifically on special teams. This freaking special teams unit is going to be a thorn in my side, because it has been for the last 4 weeks. It is shocking to me that Brian Polian was the one coach that Brian Kelly brought with him from Notre Dame. That Brian Polian was his right-hand man, his go-to guy, his bestie pop, whatever you want to call it, at Notre Dame, in the special teams unit, happens to be giving this LSU team the most problems so far this season. It is astonishing to me. But it was not just the special teams unit that committed plenty of penalties. Again, words are hard. I'm all worked up over here. But they didn't help the case by any means. LSU committed 10 penalties for 94 yards. That first penalty made me very angry. It was a 7 things targeting call. Weak. Absolutely weak call by that referee unit. And 7 Banks went off the field on a stretcher and had to go to the hospital. Eventually did come back to the game wearing a brace around his neck, but hoping for the best for 7 Banks and a very quick recovery for a very, very scary injury that he sustained on the field that night. So hoping for the best for 7 Banks, but a weak targeting call on that referee unit. Second, well, later on in the first quarter, a legal block on LSU's first punt return, backed it up to the LSU 15. Again, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. LSU got themselves to the 25-yard line in, you know, not great field position, but not terrible field position, but now you're backed up at your own 15 because of an illegal block in the back. Punt return penalties, not just this game, but also against New Mexico. We remember that blindside block call, which I thought was kind of a bad call, but also, you know, it happens. Third penalty again in the first quarter, an illegal shift for a loss of 5. Again, just making it more difficult for yourself. In the second quarter, we saw that connection between Jaden Daniels and Kayshon Booty for 4 yards, personal foul on that play for a loss of 15 yards. 15 yards when you absolutely positively need to get things moving offensively, because at this point, Auburn had already scored two touchdowns. This is in the second quarter, another illegal block on in the back on a punt return. Again, second in the game, second illegal block on a punt return for a loss of 10 yards. Again, back to the LSU 15. You got to figure those things out on special teams. It seemed like almost every single special teams play last night, there was at least some sort of issue. And then that third penalty in the second quarter, kick catching interference on an Auburn punt return, just handed Auburn 15 yards. At this point, Auburn's up 17. You're down 17-0, and you're giving Auburn free yards. You're basically just saying, hey, actually, no, we don't really mind. You just go ahead. Here's 15 yards. You move down the field a little bit more because we don't think that a 17-0 lead is good enough. Just so frustrating. Very, very frustrating. Brian Kelly mentions shooting themselves in the foot. He said that against Mississippi State. I think they did the exact same thing against Auburn. In the second half, false start. Pushed it back to the Auburn 24, a loss of 5. And they absolutely had to score here on this possession to either tie or take the lead. LSU was down 17-14 at this point. False start and pushed them back 5 yards when they absolutely needed to score here. They ultimately did end up scoring here. John Emery with a 20-yard touchdown drive. But overall, just frustrating. The next one is a defensive holding. Again, giving Auburn 10 yards while they're in LSU territory nonetheless. Again, the personal foul call didn't really matter. That was on the Coy Moore interception, which also L-O freaking L at Coy Moore, you know, talking trash, and then he throws an interception, which that just goes along with the fact that this game is always going to be weird. This game is always going to be funky. There's always going to be something in this game that just makes you scratch your head, that just defies the laws of physics and football alike, and that is Coy Moore, a wide receiver, throwing an interception right into the hands of Harold Perkins. So yeah, that was a penalty. That was a personal foul call, but it was kind of a non-starter because LSU ended up with the ball after that. And then finally, a Mason Taylor false start for a loss of 5. And at this point, LSU's offense looked absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. This is when Garrett Nussmeier was in. So it's just like salt in the wound. But those are the three things I didn't like. All the penalties, poor penalties. Dumb penalties. Something that Brian Kelly has harped on all season long, all week long, is don't commit dumb penalties. Ultimately, that does come down to coaching. So I look to Brian Kelly and company for that. But also the passing game, not able to get things moving, and the pass defense allowing Auburn to get too much moving early on in the game. But there were some good things. There were some very good things, because overall LSU did escape Auburn with a win. So coming up next, I'll get into the three things that I did like from LSU on Saturday night. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. You can get everything there. You don't just bet on BetOnline, but you can also find the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game that you can find. So you can get some info and some expert analysis on the games that you're betting on, and then bet on them all in the same spot. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all of your sport wagering information. They've got live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Look to the Monday Night Football game tonight. Bet on it with BetOnline. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite games and events, if at MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf, head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, the three things that I liked from LSU at Auburn on Saturday night. And I know I spent a lot of time complaining about this team. Overall, they escaped unscathed. They're 2-0 in the SEC, 2-0 in the SEC West. That's the most important thing here. In this league, in the SEC, when every single game could be a bloodbath, the most important thing is surviving and advancing. But there are, you know, not every win and not every loss is created equal. Even in a win, you can pinpoint things and say, this is what concerns me. And I think that we saw, you know, I did, and I'm sure you did as well as an LSU fan, you probably saw some things that concerned you. But there were also some things that gave me hope, some things that made me really excited about this LSU team. First and foremost, I know I kind of dogged on the secondary a little bit, but one thing that I really did like from this defense was the fact that there were really big plays from this defense when they absolutely needed them most. First and foremost, this was you know, the momentum that this team needed. It was the energy that this team needed. And it was the points that this team needed really badly. DJ Ojulari forces a Robbie Ashford fumble. Jay Ward was able to recover it, returned it for a touchdown, got LSU on the board finally. LSU still down 17-7, but they got on the board when they needed it most. So good on BJ Ojulari to get that pressure and to be able to force that fumble. Good on Jay Ward. Good awareness by Jay Ward to be able to see what was going on, to be able to recover it, and to take it back to the house when LSU needed it. So big play from BJ Ojulari and Jay Ward there. The second one was the Harold Perkins interception. Again, LO freaking L at Coy Moore, throwing us an interception. Harold Perkins intercepted that, and LSU didn't score on this possession, but the more important thing for me at this point was the fact that Auburn was at second and goal in LSU territory. Auburn was going to score on this drive to take the lead, and Harold Perkins stopped that from happening. So even though they didn't pick up points, at this point, LSU was up 20-17. They didn't pick up points, but also they didn't give up points, and that's on Harold Perkins. So good on him for that. And the third turnover, the third big play from this LSU defense was Greg Brooks, just, you know, putting the pin in Auburn, solidifying LSU's win when he intercepted Robbie Ashford late in the fourth quarter when Auburn was driving in LSU territory. That was the big play of the game. Greg Brooks earned the game ball from Brian Kelly for that game, for that play. Sealed the deal for LSU. And at that point, I know for certain I did, and you probably did too. I just breathed a sigh of relief. I said, okay, I can finally relax a little bit because LSU just sealed that win. I was also a little bit nervous. There was a little inch of anxiety there that I thought, okay, what's that? It would be so LSU Auburn for something weird to happen here. And for, you know, Auburn to do something to take the lead or to take it to overtime, or I didn't know. At this point, I was just not counting out anything happening. Or I'm not counting out anything from going wrong at this point. But Greg Brooks ultimately did seal the win for LSU with that final interception. So the defense coming up big when LSU needed stops the most. The second thing that I really liked was the run game. I mean, I'm kind of dogging on the passing offense, rightfully so, with 85 yards on the day. But the run game stepped up when the passing game wasn't able to get things moving. They had 185 yards and two touchdowns on 49 rushing attempts, and it wasn't just one guy. We saw more from Josh Daniels tonight, which is great to see from him. With Armani Goodwin out in this game, I was a little bit concerned about how this LSU run game was going to be able to respond with losing its leading rusher, not named Jaden Daniels. And Josh Daniels was, Josh Williams, not Josh Daniels, Jaden Daniels. Josh Williams was able to really step up in Armani Goodwin's absence. He was the leading rusher on the day, followed by Jaden Daniels and John Emery. And each of those three had 40 plus rushing yards. And, you know, the passing game wasn't working. So the run game stepped up. They were able to get it done on the ground. And I think another really key stat here that may not be like the sexiest stat in the world, but I think it's really big when you break it down, is the fact that LSU against Auburn averaged 3.8 yards per rush. Like I said, not really that sexy. I'm pretty sure Auburn averaged 8 something, either per rush or per play. I'll have to look back at the box score. But why is that number important? Well, if you just think about it, let's break it down into one single possession. Let's say, you know, LSU rushes, let's say Jaden Daniels rushed for 3.8 yards. Okay, so now you're looking at about 2nd and 7. Okay, let's say passes it off to you know, John Emery, 3.8 yards. So now you're looking at 3rd and 3. Let's say Jaden Daniels runs it again for 3.8 yards. It's a 1st and 10. That's why it's important, is because whenever you're averaging 3.8 yards a play, that means you're able to gain first downs running the ball. That's why that number is important. And that's why this LSU run offense has been so important and was so important on Saturday night, is that was really the catalyst in this LSU offense to get things moving. The third thing, you know, I don't think that we can undermine this. And I certainly don't want to undermine just how big it was for LSU to have a win and have that comeback in a really tough environment. I mentioned this last week going into the Auburn game that I'm not going to undervalue, or I'm not going to just, you know, do this or, you know, turn a blind eye to how difficult it is to be on the road, one, on the road in the SEC, and three, on the road in a really loud environment like Jordan-Hare, especially at night. And LSU wasn't just able to snag a win on the road. They were able to make that massive comeback on the road, facing adversity. You're not able to get things moving really offensively. So the defense came up big and got things rolling, got the momentum rolling. They did what they needed to do to get themselves back in this game and to win this game on the road at night in Jordan-Hare. I don't think that that's something that we can undermine. I also think that's something that gives me a whole lot of hope for this LSU team moving forward. The fact that it wasn't just the game against Auburn, it was also the game against Mississippi State and even the Florida State game. Even though they weren't able to solidify a win against Florida State, we've seen a lot of late game comebacks from this team. And that's a good thing, to know that this team doesn't give up, to know that this team might be looking at the, you know, the barrel of a 17-0 deficit, and they take that in stride and they're able to come back from it. Doesn't need to be entire stadium. You know, it doesn't need to be the easiest task at hand, but they still do it. So even though it wasn't pretty, even though it made me so much more anxious than it needed to be, even though it was so much harder than it needed to be, even though I was pacing around my apartment, like with my hands on my hips, breathing heavily, you know, hyperventilating because I was so anxious and nervous about this game, they were still able to come back and escape with a win. And I don't think that's something that we can undermine. I don't think that's something that we can undervalue, the fact that you cannot count this LSU team out. And that's really important. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Coming up on tomorrow's podcast, as we do every Tuesday, I'll give out my game balls on offense, defense, and on special teams. Plus, we'll break down what Brian Kelly has to say in his Monday press conference, his takeaways from the game. But you can get more on the SEC by making Locked On SEC your second listen. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. Make Locked On SEC your second listen.